God is good.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. This is the Father's house.
Amen.
This is not the hog pen.
No, it's not.
There is joy in this house.
Yes.
Peace in this house.
Yes.
Salvation in this house.
Yes.
Healing in this house.
Yes.
Sanctification in this house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in this house.
Amen.
Everything you want is in this house.
Right.
It's not in the house, you don't need it. It's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for this great assembly gathered here this morning. We thank you, God, for the fellowship. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Well, Sister Mary's not here, so let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. I'm just kidding, Sister Mary.
You like Ruth a lot.
I like Ruth a lot.
But I think today we'll probably hear the word Revelation
again. We probably will too.
Yeah, we're probably all roads. Oh, that's right. That's right. All roads lead to Revelation. Praise the Lord. All roads lead to Revelation. All right. Let's go to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. I brought my lunch with me this morning. Y'all recognize this, right? This is an onion. It's like God's word. You peel off one layer, and there's another layer just like it underneath. A little bit stronger smelling than the one that you just peeled off. A little bit more potent than the one you just peeled off. So you peel that one off, and lo and behold, there's another layer underneath that one, a little more potent than the one that above it. So you just keep going and going and going until there's nothing left, until you've gotten to the very heart of the thing. That's the way it is with God's Word. It's layered. That top layer is the most obvious, and it's beautiful, but it's not as beautiful as the lower layers. So you peel off the top layer, and you find even a more beautiful meaning underneath that. We were talking last time about this, what Naomi said, we'll start in verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said, and Naomi means pleasant, remember. Mm-hmm. But she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." And the word there is El Shaddai. The El Shaddai has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and Jehovah hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing Jehovah has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, if any of you have studied the way the seasons went in Israel in the Old Testament, you know that the beginning of the barley harvest began on the eve of the Passover. And as a matter of fact, that's what the Jewish commentaries say, that they came back into Bethlehem on the very eve of the Passover. So everything in the book happens according to, you know, the prophetic, it's a prophetic allegory, or it's a... And everything that happened to them for a reason, to show something that is to come, all right? So this is a book about the barley harvest, and they're harvesting barley. Barley represents the Gentiles. So they're fixing to harvest the Gentiles right here. The first thing they do in the book is harvest the Gentiles. Ruth represents the Gentile church. She's the bride, represents the Gentile church. And of course, Boaz is the Jewish bridegroom, the kinsman, the redeemer kinsman. He represents Christ. Yeah. There's fixing to be a marriage. Uh-huh. At the end of the barley harvest, there is a marriage. When the church of God has been reaped, there is going to be a marriage with the bridegroom. And then comes the wheat harvest, when Jehovah begins to deal with his people again and bring them back in into the fold. All right, so I want to say a couple of things here about, we'll take up where we left off last time. We're talking about where Naomi said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and Jehovah hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing Jehovah hath testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Well, we talked about the fact, you know, that the Lord really hadn't afflicted her that way. But she felt that, and so she said that, and that's, you know, we talked about distinguishing between a speaker and the author. Naomi didn't write the book of Ruth. So she was speaking from her spirit, and she was grieved in her spirit. But there is, let's peel off that first top layer, and let's go a little deeper. Now, when you go a little deeper into the layer underneath, we find out that she is telling the truth. This is Jehovah that has done this. Jehovah has afflicted her. Why? Because she represents Israel. She is speaking for the nation of Israel. Now, if we follow this pattern, Israel comes back into the land before Israel comes back into the land at the beginning of the barley harvest. If you look, you know, what's happening in the world today, Israel, or the Jewish people, came back into their land, into the land of Israel in 1948. This is not the gathering that is promised in the Bible. Because Jehovah didn't gather them, the Messiah didn't gather them, but they came back into the land, afflicted, empty, and destitute. They came back into the land. They have to be in the land in order to be chased out of the land when the time comes that Jehovah returns to deal with them and bring them back into the fold. So we know that they have to be in the land, and we see that they did come back into the land, just like Naomi came back into the land before she is reunited to the land. In the end of the book, we're going to see that Naomi is once again reunited to the land. Israel is not today reunited to the land. It's in the land, but they're not reunited with the land. Jehovah will reunite Israel with the land at the end of the wheat harvest. And during the wheat harvest. But in the beginning of the barley harvest, they're back in the land. But what's going to happen? The church is time for the church to rise. It's time for the harvest of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Not time yet for the harvest of the Jewish people, which comes later. The Gentiles are harvested first. Yeah. The church is harvested first. Mm-hmm. For blindness in part has happened to Israel, yeah, till the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So that's where we're at right now. This is the season of the barley harvest. Yeah. You had seasons when you planted the seed in Israel. You had seasons. There was the plowing time and the planting time. And that was in the summer. And then that was in the late summer. And then they put the seed in the ground, and then they waited for the early rain, which came in the fall. The former rain came in the fall, that brought the seed out of the ground. And then there came the winter time when not much was going on. We know that, you know, the church has gone through this time. Jesus, John the Baptist, and Jesus planted. John plowed the ground. Jesus planted. And on the day of Pentecost began the early rain. The early rain fell. And the early church flourished for a couple hundred years. And then it went into a sort of a state of dormancy for a long period of time. We would a lot of times call that the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Went into a period of dormancy. And the gifts of the Spirit were not manifest. And then around the end of the 19th century came the latter rain. In the spring comes the latter rain. In the spring, the latter rain spring, the rains of the spring, the latter rain causes the grain to come into the head. Without the latter rain, it's going to be a very poor crop because the seed will not come into the head. Well, the latter rain comes at the right time to bring the seed into the head. Then the rain stops and the harvest season begins. It doesn't rain during the harvest. You don't want rain during the harvest. Rain during the harvest season serves no useful purpose. It, as a matter of fact, it damages the grain. It will destroy the grain. You need it to stop raining in the harvest season so you can get into the field and harvest the grain. So the latter rain came. We saw the outpouring in Azusa Street and all around the world, a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit once again began to manifest in a marvelous and powerful way. There's so many Pentecostal people now in the world. Millions. The Pentecostals number in the millions. Pentecostals, charismatics number now in the millions. But we're coming to a harvest season. Now we don't know exactly what this harvest season is going to look like because we've never seen it. The church has never yet gone through the harvest season. So we've seen the early rain, and we've seen the dormant state, and we've seen the latter rain, which lasted about 100 years or so, but now we're fixing to come into the harvest season. And when the Lord really brings the grain to the full, the sun comes out, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings. Glory to God. We're going to see marvelous and wonderful things. So Naomi and Ruth came back into the land of Israel at the beginning of the barley harvest. And we can see this, that the Jewish people came back into the land of Israel in 1948. And although we're desperately trying to reunite them with the land, this is above our pay grade. The church cannot reunite Israel to its land. Only Jehovah can do that. Amen. Jehovah put them out of the land, and Jehovah will have to reunite them with the land. So when Naomi says, Jehovah brought me back again empty, she's telling the truth. She went out full, but she's brought back again empty. Let me read a little bit from Isaiah chapter 63. Verses 7 through 10. 63, 7 through 10. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and that loving kindness is there again is the word chesed. And it's plural. I will mention the cheseds of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses. Again, that's chesed again. According to the multitude of His cheseds. We talked about this before and I want to say it again. Chesed is the basis of all faith. Without chesed, there can be no faith. Because chesed means loyalty. It is a duty. God is duty bound by His word. He is loyal. He is faithful who promised. He will not break His word. He has committed Himself and bound Himself by His word. That's why we can believe Him. That's why we can trust Him. That's why we can take His promises to the grave.
Amen.
Because He is faithful who promised. Without that, there could be no faith. If we could not depend on the Lord to keep His word, there could be no faith. We could not have faith if He wasn't faithful who promised.
Amen.
If He wasn't a God full of chesed. We could not have faith. We would not have faith because we would not know what He might do next. That is not the case. We know what He's going to do.
Amen.
He told us what He would do. He is faithful. He keeps His word. He keeps His promises.
Yeah.
We can take that to the grave. That's why we have faith. Glory to God. For He said, "Surely they are My people, children that will not lie," so He was their Savior. "In all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity He redeemed them, and He bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them." That is exactly what Naomi said. The hand of Jehovah has gone out against me, and He has brought me back again empty. That is exactly correct as far as if she's speaking for the nation of Israel, that is exactly right. They went out full, and they came back empty. They have come back empty. They have no Ark of the Covenant. They have no Shekinah glory. They have no temple. They're just sort of marking time over there until the beginning of the wheat harvest. They're just marking time. But the wheat harvest is about to begin because we're in the middle of the barley harvest. When the barley harvest is finished, then begins the wheat harvest. And so Ruth and Naomi came back into Israel on the eve of the Passover, which begins the barley harvest. The eve of the Passover, of course, we know that's when Jesus was crucified on the Passover. So she's not on that level, you see, she's telling the truth. So we need to peel off that upper layer, and we need to go to a lower layer, a deeper level. And we find out that she's speaking for the nation of Israel when she said that the hand of Jehovah has gone out against me. That's why they were out of the land in the first place. Why? Because they rejected the Messiah. Because they crucified the Lord. So therefore they couldn't stay in the land. They can't stay in the land in unbelief. They cannot stay in the land. They cannot hold the land in unbelief. Israel can only hold the land in faithfulness to God.
Amen.
They can only hold the land in times of belief. And they're not in belief now. So, but they're there just like Naomi came back into the land before she was reunited to the land and reconnected. Ruth is going to do that. Ruth and Boaz are going to figure out a way to reunite Naomi with her land. Okay? And our Redeemer kinsman is going to reunite Israel with His land after the church is finished. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So let's start in chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of valor, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. We talked about his name. The name Boaz means "in him is strength." There was a Solomon. There were two great pillars in Solomon's temple, and one of them was named Boaz. Strangely enough, he named the pillars. He put two great pillars in the temple. And one of them was named Boaz. I don't know what the significance of that is for sure, but Boaz was a pillar in the temple of God. Anyhow. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean among the stalks of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now remember that when Naomi comes back, Naomi is telling the truth when she says, I came back empty. She's got nothing. She is a childless widow, which in those days you were in pretty bad shape. She owned no land. She had nobody to take care of her. She was a childless widow. And therefore she depended upon the kindness of strangers and upon the chesed of the Lord. But there were provisions in Israel to take care of widows and orphans. And one of those was the gleaning. They were not supposed to glean, they were not supposed to harvest to the very corners of their field. They were supposed to leave the corners of their fields for the widows and the orphans, so that the widows and the orphans could come and glean and gather the corners of their fields and have something somewhat to live off of. Plus the widows and the orphans could go and they could follow along behind the reapers, and if the reapers dropped something, they could pick it up and they could live off of the droppings that the harvesters dropped, carelessly or otherwise, dropped in the field. The widows and the orphans could pick it up. So this is what Ruth is talking about. She said, you know, let me go into the field and let me see if I can find something to eat. And Naomi said, go. And she went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. All right, now Boaz represents the Redeemer kinsman. Where does our Redeemer kinsman come out of? He comes out of Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem, Judah. Little among the thousands. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Took a miracle of God to get him there, to get Mary there for him to be born in Bethlehem. Because they didn't live there. But God had to work it out so he could be born there. Now this is a beautiful story, right? This listen what happens here. Boaz came from Bethlehem and he said to the reapers, Jehovah be with you. And they said to him, may Jehovah bless you. And it gives us a beautiful picture of it's a peaceful pastoral setting. This is a time when Israel is functioning the way Israel is supposed to function. The owner of the field comes out and he says, Jehovah bless you. And all the workers answer back, Jehovah bless you. Now this is beautiful. This would be wonderful to be able to go to work and your boss comes in and says, Jehovah bless you. And you answer back, Jehovah bless you as well. So this is what we see here. Now, all right, I'm going to stop right there. In verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, because I'm always taking up more time, I'm going to stop right there. Now I'm going to give back, I'm going to redeem a little bit of time.
Monty mentioned that scripture in Malachi where it says the Son of Righteousness.
The Son of Righteousness, this is Malachi. Yeah, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings.
I always wondered what the spelling of this you
mean. It's not S-O-N, this is S-U-N. This is 4 and 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. This is a picture of the church of God in the harvest season.
Yeah.
The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. This is what it's going to be like in the days of the barley harvest. It's not going to be like the days of the latter rain. The latter rain has got to stop. We can't be hanging from the chandeliers all the time. The church cannot grow and deepen and ripen while we're swinging from the chandeliers. The sun has to come out and dry up the grain and dry up the field so you can get into the field and work. The harvest time is a time of work. It's a time of great activity, great labor. We're fixing to see the church do things that have never been seen before. Glory to God. All right.
Healing and hurt.
Healing.
And you know, I think that we may see healing like we have never seen before, so that the work can get done. There's going to be great, I think, healing.
That's right.
Like we just can't even hardly imagine, so that the laborers can work.
That's right.
That's what I'm seeing in that scripture. Praise God. Part of it. Son, S-U-N of righteousness.
And like the Lord took them out, you know, out of Egypt with, you know, no feeble monster.
Amen.
That's true.
I thought about that too, Brother
Dave. That's what the church is going to.
Hallelujah.
Another way to translate that Son of Righteousness, another way to translate that would be the Son of Prosperity, or the Son of Blessing. The Son of Blessing shall arise. The Son of Welfare shall arise. The El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. He's not the God of barely enough, but he's the God of more than enough. The Son of Righteousness, the Son of Prosperity, the Son of Blessing shall arise with healing in his wings. Praise the Lord. All right. So that's where we're at today. We're in the middle of the barley harvest. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.